First Corinthians 16, verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Should we still wait till the end before we know whether God is there or not? Let's wait. Something can still happen by miracles. Without doubt, Jesus never involved God in men's acquisition of material things. Hope that was clear. Rather, it's in what we do with it and what we do towards it. He mentioned reach towards God, seek ye first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, and his righteousness. He spoke to the rich young ruler. He said, sell all you have and give to the poor. You know, and he says that the man had great possessions. How hard is those who trust in riches? That's what he taught. And obviously, Jesus identified human endeavor. We said he mentioned businessmen, traders, merchants, rulers, lawyers, doctors. He mentioned many people that you cannot but identify that those are means or media where men acquire things. Men don't acquire because they preach the gospel. Men acquire because they have requisite skills. And we're going to see that shortly. And they have the right information and knowledge. Another truth that we must establish is that the gospel does not make men rich. And let me ask you, did Jesus have any problem with trading? No. Buying and selling? No. Didn't. That's human endeavor. But that's not the gospel. The gospel has no say in that context or has an influence in a man being rich or otherwise. That's human endeavor. And it has a whole lot of conditions attached to it. And we read from Solomon's Proverbs, sometimes it's injustice that makes people poor, sometimes it's the wrong system. All of them are man-made. There are systems of the world that create wealth for a few. And it's injustice. So it's man-made. And we must realize that, you know, what Jesus did in the temple in John 2, was not that he was against merchandise. It was where it was taking place. It was not against merchandise in John 2. In verse 16, take these things out. Make not my father's house an house of merchandise. He didn't say it was evil. In other words, the church is restricted in what it does. Now, did he teach merchandise in the church? No. Did he use merchandise as illustrations? Yes. But his illustrations using merchandise was not authoritative. We have said that. Jesus was not an authority in trading. He was not an authority in even sowing seeds. He was not an authority in dividing inheritance. He was not an authority. He only mentioned them by the way of explanation. You don't expect to listen to a sermon and pass your commerce test. No. But he recognized it and realized it and did not deny it. And part of those whom he chose to walk with him had those different trades and professions. Those that followed him too. Those that gave to his ministry. So he recognized it. But that was not the gospel. The gospel did not make anybody a fisherman. The gospel did not make anybody a merchant. The gospel did not make anybody a physician. But the gospel now teaches the physician to be a Christian with his profession. That's the influence of the gospel. So human endeavor is how men acquire things. The epistles we're about to see and the four gospels don't teach you how you have. They teach you to what? Give. And how to resist the control of earthly possessions. Now, a question can arise. Does that now take away God leading me in my career. No. Don't get that wrong. God's word teaches us what to do. If you're an employer, we're going to see an employee. You know, how our character should reflect Christ. You know, and when it borders around his purpose and plan in the church, just like the gospel in the book of Acts. Yes. But you have a whole lot to do. Because it's a human industry. The kind of knowledge you acquire, the kind of things you know, the kind of things you don't know are vital. Let's go further and see a few things. Like we rightly said, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth of the gospel. Not for merchandise. That's why he said, take this out from here. Don't make my father's house a house of merchandise. That is the lesson in there. Not that merchandise is wrong, but the church has its own function. The same way you can't enter into a courtroom and be doing praise worship. You will take that praise worship elsewhere, where you will not like it. You get it? So the church should be left with its own function. The church has its own truth, which it opposes. It's not commercial. It's not philosophical. It's not regional. It's not ethnic. It's not cultural. It's just the gospel. It must stick to that. To admit into its fold those who have done other things, who do other things in different endeavor, different industries. We mentioned earlier the miracles of supply are exceptional. And never forget they dealt with what? Food. Food or edibles, not money. So therefore, we must be very careful. You know, does it not amaze you that from Genesis 4, Cain and Abel had occupation? I mean, from Genesis 4, the first children of who we can call the first man and woman, they had a problem. One was a keeper of sheep, one a tiller of ground. From the beginning. What do you do? What are you doing? What is your endeavor? What do you wake up in the morning to attend to? What do you keep? What do you preserve? What do you do? When you read about Abraham, Genesis 13, Abraham was not a prophet who now became wealthy. He was a wealthy man that became a prophet. Genesis 13:2 says, Abraham was very rich in silver, cattle, and in gold. We could have said Bill Gates was very rich. It's the same thing. Lot also, verse 5, had flocks, herds, and tents. Lot. Why? Because of their profession. That's it. In Genesis 24, verse 35, his servant, Abimelech, said about him, said about him, the Lord had blessed my master greatly. He has become great. He had given flocks, herds, silver, gold, maid servants, camels, and that's his opinion. Don't forget, the old covenant, everything was the Lord. If we investigate a bit, before he was called, he had herdsmen, cattle, he had gold. When he was called, there was an instance he had to exchange his wife for wealth. But what did Eliezer say? The Lord did it. So Jesus has exonerated God even from making people wealthy. Not just from evil, though. From making people rich, he removed God. So part of Jesus' hermeneutic was to take God away from that equation. So it wasn't just, oh, he doesn't do evil. Jesus removed God from how people have material wealth. In Genesis 26, verse 12, we read about Isaac, the notorious verse, who sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. Of course, the Lord blessed him. A hundredfold. Don't forget that this was a guy who struggled. In verse 13, the man waxed great, went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks, possession of herds, great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. You need to just read that obviously he did not get something substantial from his father to make him go and rest on his oars. He proceeded to walk. He sowed in the land. He invested. He did what people do. The right investment in the right place. Got the right information. But the thinking that it is God who did it is an Old Testament thinking. Who did it? Isaac. Who did it? Abraham. It's an Old Testament thinking. It's human endeavor. That is why Jacob, his own son, now has to be an employee. He also, by wits, call it anything, was able to also dig it. That's what happened. You will see that that's why the new covenant says nothing about their wealth. The new covenant focuses on what we can call the God factor, the faith factor. Faith in Christ. Faith for the promise. Other things, they are endeavor. We have spoken about Solomon enough, let's leave him alone. His wealth was so enormous that people were poor. So enormous that just two generations after, they were in captivity. That's just the nature of wealth. It can never last forever. So that's just the nature. New covenant has no commentary. When Jesus made a commentary of Solomon, what he said is, Solomon in all of his glory is not arrayed like one of these things. That looks like an ironical statement, a paradox of a sort. Ah, Solomon is his glory and flower. He said, because they don't toil. They don't hustle. Solomon in all his glory. Not really like this one. So, read the new, and we have seen that Jesus and the apostles are the ones that gave us the proper explanation of the Old Testament. What did they say about Abraham? He believed in the Lord. Accounted to him for righteousness. Isaac, Solomon, Joseph. Accounted for righteousness. Romans 4, 1 to 3. What did he find? For God imputed righteousness to him without works. These are clear-cut explanations. So that means they ignored the wealth. Are you following me? They didn't even acknowledge God doing anything for their wealth, but their righteousness. They ignored it. Did it mean that their wealth was not, it was there? Are they saying that they are wealthy? Being wealthy was evil? No. But the gospel in all their action was faith in Christ. It's that simple. That simple. Faith in Christ. Galatians 3:8, the gospel. Hebrews 11, Up till Moses. In fact, the Moses account of Hebrews 11 is worth reading again. Hebrews 11. Verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. That's informative. The reproaches, he calls them riches. So when you read the epistles and see the word riches and wealth, don't be shocked that what it focuses on are spiritual things. Since natural wealth is not exclusive to believers. It's not because a man is a believer. It's because the man has endeavored to have it. By hook or by crook. That's what it is. So the wealth in Christianity is not material. The wealth in the world is material, definitely. Depends on where a man is. Depends on the system. You know, some, they have that wealth by the virtue of inheritance. Look at that boy that just went to meet his father and asked to get something. I imagine going to my father. There will be nothing he will give me at that point. Say, what do you want? There was nothing. If he had any houses, maybe he built two. So, which one would he give the elder and the younger? Where would he live? Do you understand what I'm saying? So, that people, but there's also some folks, from the time they were born, they need no confession to the wealthy. Even before they were born. That's just, and it's not impossible that the father who willed to the child was a corrupt person. It's not even impossible that the father was not corrupt, but the grandfather who first willed you was corrupt, but has been cleaned along the line. Do you get the point? So, you cannot expect the new covenant to get himself involved in that murky water. It's just murky. Human beings create wealth. That's it. They create wealth. Human beings by their endeavor. But God gave the gift of righteousness. Look at this. Does it not amaze you that the word wealth in the old covenant is 25 times used? In the four gospels, it's used none at all. In the book of Acts, just once. And the epistles once. Money is mentioned in the Old Testament 117 times. In the four gospels, 16 times, mostly in Jesus' parables, and was never used as a blessing. Book of Acts, 6 times. 3 of those times, Simon the Sorcerer. Epistles, just once. The loss of money. 1 Timothy 6:10. Those are salient facts that you cannot ignore. You can't ignore it. It shows you how they interpreted the Old Testament. The possession in people's accounts or their yard or barn was not the explanation. Historically, it can be referenced. But it doesn't become a doctrine of the church. Simple. Because men make wealth. Look at 1 Timothy 6. Paul's commentary to Timothy. I need your attention here. In verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money. Which is an unconditional commitment, just like Jesus said, he will love one and hate the other. He's not saying owning money. No. And in this context, again, don't forget, you can't say the love of money is the root of all evil. And say any evil you see in this world is because of love of money. No. He was talking relative to men preaching godliness as gain. You can say, the love of money is the root of all this evil. The evil being to err from the faith, to pierce oneself with many sorrows. He had mentioned it earlier on. Proud, verse 4, knowing nothing, talking about question and strife of wars, wherefore cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmises. Perverse speech of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, pray. No, withdraw yourself. So the essence of saying this is for a preacher in his message must never confer on his doctrine the ability to have money. That's what he's saying. What is in the message is contentment. But the moment a man turns the narrative of the gospel to how to acquire wealth, Paul says he has heard from the faith. Is he saying that I must not go and learn how to acquire wealth? No, I must. But that's not the gospel. The moment I want to turn the gospel to that, so the gospel begins to do what Lagos Business School does. The gospel begins to do what you learn in Netherlands Business School, or what you learn in London School of Economics. Then you have heard from the faith. Let a man go to those places to learn them. Let a man go to the right seminars to learn them. Buy the right materials. But the gospel does not have that narrative. Say, supposing that godliness is gain. Prosperismus, to acquire. Look at this. So he, verse 10 again, they that will be rich or desire to be rich, verse 9, fall into temptation. Look at the word rich. Rich. Plosios. P-L-O-U-S-I-O-S. How did Jesus use it? Rich. Matthew 25:27. A rich man. How he became rich, we don't know. Matthew 25:27. No, 27:57. Sorry. A rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He did not become a rich man by being a disciple. We're not told. Mark 12:41. I want you to look at this example. Mark 12:41. Okay, we have read in Matthew 19:23-24, a rich man to enter the kingdom, to trust him. Mark 12:41. Watch this one. Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. Notice again, men that were rich, how they became rich, were not told. And there came a certain poor widow. She threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto himself and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more than they all which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast into of their abundance. She of her want did cast in all she had, even all her living. He doesn't confer divine approval. Not even on the poor. Not on the rich. Rather on what they did. Not on the poor, but what they did. We read Luke 12. He mentioned the rich fool. Luke 14, 12. Luke 12, 20, the rich fool. Luke 14, 12. Look at this. Then said he also to him that bade him, when you make a dinner or a supper, call not your friends or their brethren, neither thy kinsmen or your rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again and recompense the maid unto you. That is, don't be exchanging wealth among wealthy people. Call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. See, makes no comment on how they became rich. His comment was on what they did with their wealth. Luke 16, we've read about Lazarus. Luke 18, 23 and 25, the rich young ruler. On none did Jesus say, God made him, or because he served the Lord, or because he had faith. He mentioned faith for healing, never faith in material things, not once. Luke 19:2. Zacchaeus. Rich man that people are even accusing of being fraudulent or oppressing others. The man even admitted he pledged to return whatever he took, you know, fraudulently. Jesus did not say anything about it. At all. Luke 21. We read that earlier. Verse 3. Of a truth I say, that this poor widow has cast in more than they all. For all these have of the abundance cast into the offerings of God. But he of the penury had cast in all the living that she had. Where he involved God is in what? The giving. So you won't find the word riches used to glorify anybody or to show how a man followed God and had been led by God. No! Human endeavor. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, he even called Jesus rich. He became poor. And the rich is not material. That you, through his poverty, might be made rich. He called every believer rich, yet he called some poor. He had called the people in Macedonia, he had poverty, yet he called them rich in Christ, but poor in material things. Just like that widow. Poor in material things, but rich in her good works. The rich fool, rich in material things, but poor in his conduct. Ephesians 2:4 says God is rich. I know our mind can never think he's rich because he has something. Rich in mercy. Look at James 1:10. James 1:10. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, it shall pass away. That's what he says about wealth. He says, the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat. It withers the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fire of his perishing, so also shall the rich man fade in his ways. He said, it will come and go. Simple. Whereas in the same James 2:5, speaking about the poor, hath God not chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? So the rich of the epistles is not material wealth. Because material wealth is human endeavor. Rich in faith. In verse 6, you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat. Rich in this world. James 5:1. Go to now, you rich man. Weep. How for your mistress that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are molded. Of course, he's talking about the oppressive rich man. And what does he tell them? He said, everything will be destroyed. So there's a rebuke against oppression. Just like Solomon's kind of rich. Oppressive. Being oppressive. In Revelation 2:9 and 3:17, very instructive. 2:9. I know thy works and tribulation. Watch this. I know your works, tribulation, and poverty, but you are rich. Can you imagine? You are rich in works, but you are poor in material stuff. Yet, in chapter 3, a certain church, whom he had called lukewarm, verse 17 says, I am rich, increased with goods, I have need of nothing. Knowest not that thou wast wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Can you see? Their works were poor, even though they had material substance. So the focus of the church, the focus of the gospel, is never to teach men how to have, or where to have. No. So in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them that are rich where? Rich, plosious in Aineon. They are bound in the activities. Rich in commerce, rich in trade, rich in their career, rich in politics. If you are in Nigeria. Rich in sports. In those days, you play football and you'll be flogged. Remember, I was in primary 3 or so. I was supposed to do high jump. And then I said they should raise the bar. So as I did the high jump, I didn't even get close to the bar. I landed on my hand. Baka! A boy took uweke. Said, let's pull it. I was begging, don't kill me. They took me to Unilag. Because I was in university South school, the health center. So I had a cast. My father traveled there. So I was still playing football. He came back in his Volkswagen. I forgot the number again. LA something something. And he saw me. He called me upstairs. And he flogged me. So I said, my hand, I said, no, there's not paying you. Since you could play football with it, I can flog you for playing football. I dare say, if that be today, he won't flog me. People are earning today £500,000 per week. Don't calculate it by the spirit. Bring out a real calculator. Per week, they are rich in this world. Forget that somebody calls a ghost and removes his shirt and shows you Jesus is Lord. When they lose, they show you. It's when they score. So it's just demo. Rich in this world. Activities. Different activities. And you know, activities change with time. There are some careers that are Old Testament now. Some are New Testament. There are even some later Testaments. They are imagined. In those days, some will earn money by being typists. You'll be typing, you know, and they'll be typing. No. You like that, and they'll be doing posing. Some make money by helping you browse. You pay them money per hour, 100 naira. It goes on and on. Some were making money by phone calls. They say, ah, just 4 seconds. Say, it's 1 minute. And they collect the money. They are now Old Testament. So rich in this world. Rich in what is reigning. Rich in what is making money. That's how simple it is. charge them that they be not high-minded. In fact, the Greek of the word in this world is present world or present human activities. In this world. You know, today, Abraham and Lot will be called first men because they were moving around with their heads. Like many don't know that that particular trade is billion. They don't know that just breeding cows. Do you know how we eat meat in Lagos? We eat meat like we're cannibals. As of people are making billions because we like meat. In this world. In this world. So don't. If you start selling, for example, you start selling Bibles. Or Christian books. It's likely many brethren will collect and pay you next year. It's by grace. Jesus did it all. Jesus did it all. He did it all for me. So they'll collect it for me. In this present world. He said, let them not be high-minded. The critical thing is that trust in uncertain riches. The word uncertain there is the word adelotis. A-D-E-L-O-T-E-S. Indefinite. Undefined. That will come and go. It's from the word adelos. So he says, don't trust in uncertain riches, which Jesus had warned of in the four Gospels, but in the living God, who gives us all these things richly to enjoy. In case you say the things there are material things, he tells you what he gives to us, that they do good, be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. So verse 18 explains what God gave us. The ability in Christ to give, to distribute. Rich in good works. So the gospel doesn't teach you to have. It teaches you to what? Give from what you have. That's what he does. How do I be a better medical doctor? A better trader, teacher? Go to where they do that. How do I give? Come, we'll tell you. What do you give? How do I ensure that my career, my pursuit of material things does not influence my life? Come, we'll teach you. That's the church. What do I do with my life? What? Which career should I pursue? Bring your jam results? Bring your wife results? No, I'm saying in Christ, bring both. Can you see the pattern of your score? That's the leading of the Spirit, you see? When you raise children, for example, I say, no, you must be a doctor, you must be a lawyer. Can you see doctors carrying placard? Sometimes it's over 20K. 20,000 addition. 20K. And somebody who just think is rich in this world. Those who think, if there is my life, it's free. Psalms, hymns, spiritual song. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Nothing material. A guy just sang one song and said, what is it? You know me, guy, like, God the winner, God the winner, God. You hear songs in church about the grace of God, the goodness of God. But some of you like, God the winner, God. Good reading, good danceable. People are dancing and dancing away their money. Rich in these. Simple. You see, it's just, that's what it is. So, Paul acknowledges that about himself as well. Look at Acts 18. You must have what you do. When people want to get married, we ask them basic questions. What do you do? Say, I'm an usher. What do you do? I assist my senior pastor. Come. What do you do? Somebody went to me. Wanted to marry a daughter. So how do you intend to say, well, God will. We trust the Lord. He will get us a house. We trust the Lord. We trust the Lord. And he said, we trust the Lord. So the daughter asked him, Daddy, what's your impression about John? He said, he thinks I'm God. So, Acts 18, after these things, verse 1, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately came from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them. The word craft is not a spiritual word. Is the word homotechnos. Same, homo. Technos. T-E-C-H-N-O-S. From the word technique, it means skill. Paul had a skill. A skill is an ability to do something in the natural. A skill. Not acquired techniques. Something you acquire by knowledge, by training. Not by prayer. Prayer has its own use and ministry. But it is not a skill to acquire things. Technique. The word technique is an art. Something you know to do. In verse 3, it's called their occupation. By occupation, they were tent makers. Occupation. Paul didn't call preaching occupation. No. Preaching is service, ministry. Occupation is not ministry. It's how you get. Ministry is others taking from you. Occupation is you taking from others. Say, I see my career as a ministry. Yeah? Your career is not a ministry. It's a means to have. You can now choose part of your career. Maybe you're a medical doctor. Can I choose? Well, I'll be offering free eye treatment for people at the end of the month or once a year. But don't declare all your services free. You will tend to penury. Are you following my point? No. That's your trade. They were of the same craft. Tent makers. A guy was trying to teach this, that tent maker there, that the tent there is garment. Garment. Prayer garment. Prayer shawl. What is it? Anyway. It's the word skenopios. S-K-E-N-O-P-O-I-O-S. Skinny, S-K-E-N-E, means a place of dwelling, a mansion, a house. So Paul was a builder. You know, that is, you know, like these days when you have these tools, that means Paul was into hard work. Laborer. You know what he called laborer? That's why he calls it a wise master builder. He used the word build so often because he was a builder. He was building. Autotomio. Rightly divided is used by builders. Does it not amaze you that Paul was also a Pharisee? That is, he knew scriptures. He was called a Pharisee of Pharisees. Yet he also had skills. Skills. Trade. Something he was doing in exchange for money. In Romans 16, where he acknowledged many people in the church, you know, there is no divine occupation. There is no gospel occupation. There is no... Somebody asked me one time, can I be a model? I said, it depends on what you are doing with it. You can be a good model. Modeling for clothes. As long as the clothes are not underwears. Called overwears. Can be a model for good products. Healthy products. So on and so forth. Yes. That's if you are fine. If you are not fine, then that is not your own trade. But it's true. Because when they want to choose those who are model, they look at you. They say, no, look at me in the spirit. No. We are not selling spiritual products. Fine. If you want to sing, you want to sing for Mavings or all these record labels. You don't say, no. Watch the lyrics. They are godly. Okay, come. How's your voice like? Can you move a crowd, an audience? Can you make people... You saw these guys again. They don't even sing well, but they know how to say things that just be moving. It's a skill. It's a skill. Can a Christian be a worldly musician? What's worldly musician? Musician. As long as he's not singing the gospel to earn money, you can sing good, great songs, romantic songs, lovely songs, but they are healthy songs. Christians can sing. Christians can write good movies. Good movies, great movies. I was talking to some people a couple of weeks back, and I was helping them divine their plot. Yeah, do you know about this? I said, I know. I've helped people write movies before. Look at the plot. I watch Mnet, some of these, to watch how they do their how they do their storyline. I learn it because I'm going to write movies. Not the one you see Bible inside. There's no Bible at all. Not a single scripture you find there. Just normal living. Yeah. I saw some people recently and they went, and I said, let's add this to it. Ah, yes, look at you, I never thought about this. I said, I think movies. Let's add this. You change the characterization. Do this. I said, it's not Bible, I saw that though. It's reading. Just reading. That's it. You look at it. What can you do? I don't like technology or this. I mean, I say, I just don't like it. But I like it being done for me. But I don't look. I'm not trying to now make myself, let me be learning. I won't learn it. But let's sit down and plan. So look at those areas. And don't say, I just sense. I don't sense. It is in this world. Don't spiritualize wealth. There is nothing spiritual about it. The only spiritual one is men are dons laying their money to men of God. That one is spiritual. The spiritual part of wealth making is when adults who went to university are told that when you give, you have. The first things you learned in school is plus and minus. It's simple. Minus one. It's gone. Nobody to teach you. It's plus one. No. That is a spiritual problem. That is a spiritual... You learn that early in life.
One blood, one, two, two blood. You knew that. Don't come to the church and become a fool. Whatever you give is God. But you are generous. That's all. So when you keep doing that and say, I have, that's the spiritual part. That was the spiritual problem. Are we making sense here? In Romans 16, verse 23, Paul saluted many people. He saluted quite a number of people. One of them was Priscilla and Aquila, who we already know, they were tent makers. 23, Gaius, my host. This Gaius, all over the place. Because he had tents. He was working. And of the whole church, can you imagine? The whole church. Salute you, Erastus, the chamberlain of the city. Chamberlain is not that guy. The word chamberlain is manager of resources. It's like the finance commissioner or the treasurer of the city. You didn't learn that one in church. Paul didn't teach him that. That is what the guy is. You are Luke the physician. 2 Timothy 4:14, Alexander the coppersmith, from the word charkos, K-E-U-S, used for metals and money. So, professions were, people had what they were doing. That's what they were doing. And some will be rich in it, some are not. But those who are rich, say, charge them. That they be not high minded. That's all. At no point was God put in the equation. He has already been removed by Jesus. You saw it. And the apostle removed God. You will hear, and God blessed him with human ending. Human ending. Let's follow this. Therefore, what did Paul teach? Paul acknowledged those who were employers of labor. Ephesians 6. Among believers. Verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling. In singleness of heart unto Christ. Not eye service. Servants. Verse 9. You masters, do the same unto them. Forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him.
So, he acknowledged those who are employed, those who are employ others. He didn't say, oh, you who are servants, you are more than this. You are more. To know whether you are more than this is your choice. He didn't tell you, change your office, change where you're working for. That's your choice. It's your choice to make. So I said, well, they are paying me 40K. I know I can be getting 400K elsewhere. But I'm just thinking, would it be the love of God to abandon this company at this stage? Stay there. It's the love of God. Stay. It's not that the 400,000, you are going to walk and not be able to serve the Lord. You are both serving the Lord there. See, I'm just pitying my organ. If I just abandon this company at this point, you know, the day he abandons you, you will know. So it's just your choice. That, except you have an impression, a leading that is very clear. Not a sentimental leading. But that's your choice. To be a master or a servant is your choice. It's your conduct there that the gospel teaches. Don't do eye service. If you're an employer of labor, don't be mean. That's all. Same in Colossians 3. Look at 1 Timothy 6. As many, verse 1, as are under the yoke, count their masters worthy of all honor,
that the name of God and his doctrine is not blasphemed. And they that are believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren. And rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved. Particles of the benefit. These things teach and exhort.
That is, don't take advantage of believing bosses. Ah, then you go and greet the boss. I have camp meeting.
So don't take advantage of that. Serve well. Do it well.
Do it well. Don't say, my boy is a Christian now, so if she comes into my office and I'm reading the word or listening to Living Word Media, she should understand. That's wrong. Face your work. Face your work. Be dutiful. Be diligent. That's what Paul is teaching here. Employees are recognized. Employers are recognized. He has nothing in his epistles about how to increase your business worth. Nothing like that. That's what you learn outside the church. But what you learn in the church is what to do when you have and what to do even when you don't have. Hope that is very clear. So prosperity is human endeavor. Acquisition of wealth is human endeavor. And therefore you will see that most texts that are applied in the present day churches, many of them, not most, on this issue are twisted. Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more. The subject matter was very clear. Him that stole. In fact, some earlier version says, let the thief stop stealing. That's a verse for those who used to make money with fraudulent means. It's not a ticket for prosperity. Let him walk with his hands that which is honest, that he may have to give to him that is in need. Teaching honest living and sacrificial living. See?
2 Thessalonians 3. He that does not walk should not eat. Who is he that does not walk? Someone who waits upon the church for support. Verse 12. Verse 10 to 12. 2 Thessalonians 3. In 1 Timothy 5, teaching the widows who should be receiving to support. He says, look, check that widow. Has she provided for her family? Did she train up her children well? Verse 8, if any provide not for his own, especially those of his household, he has desired the faith and is worse than an infidel.
Of course, it's a direct explanation of the widows, whether they have taken care of their own family. But it's applicable to all men. Provide for his own. Provide. So, you don't work to say, I'm working to give. No. You work to give too. You work to provide for your own. You work to take care of yourself. Your own.
Taking care of your family. And so on and so forth. And also the church of God. Acts 20.
So, it's clear that the scriptures have no information on how money should be made. If you ever found anything like that in the Old Testament, ignore it. Jesus ignored it. The apostles ignored it. Who's following what I'm saying here? Are you following what I'm saying here? It is your making. But you must be honest, right? Dutiful, diligent. Don't defraud people. Be diligent. Be hardworking. Have what you do for a living. Don't say, I preach for a living. Or I confess God's word for a living.
Acts 20. 33.
So, is it clear that there is no mystery to world creation? Is it clear?
Acts 20. 33. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Silver, gold, apparel. You yourselves know that this hand.
Now, Paul, the way Paul taught a minister working for a living, people have said it was an option. No. Paul taught it strongly as an example. It's not by the way. No.
You yourselves know that these hands, the word here is a cheri in the Greek, these instruments, is used for a tool.
I've ministered to my necessities. No, when you're a builder, it's your hand you will use. Right? He said, this hand. If Paul gives you a slap, I'm sure. You will shake and fall under God's power. This hand, rugged man, I've ministered, watch this, to my necessities. So you walk to meet your own needs. This hand, I've ministered. When he said, my God shall supply all your needs. And when his needs were met in Philippi, by the Philippian church, it was because he was in jail. He was incapacitated. A man from marriage was walking with his hand. So these hands have met my necessities and to them that are with me. So I don't just walk for my own needs. I walk to provide for others. Is that consistent with the Bible? Very good. Verse 35. I have showed you all things. How that soul laboring. The word laboring is the word kopiao. K-O-P-I-A-O. Is used for working hard. Mental and physical. Some guys don't work physically hard. But they work mentally hard. I said, when you see me, I said, I'm a moving office. My head is in many places, not just his community. Yes? Many places. I'm not talking about the nations of the world, where we light up the dark places. No. No. Different places where I have investments, they're in my head. I'm thinking. I'm making calls. So I said, I have a meeting. I say, oh, are you preaching? I said, no. Morning meeting. When I go for a business meeting and you start with prayer, I may not do business with you. Don't pray. Why not pray? I pray in church. I pray in my house. Here, let's discuss. Bring out the books. Let's see you together. Is it profitable? Say, by the grace of God. No. The grace of God has appeared unto all men. Leave that one. This one is rich in this world. That means, when it comes to money making, I must be worldly. Hear me well. Medicine is not spiritual, it's worldly. Trading is worldly. Messi is worldly. Ronaldo is worldly. You are paying worldly money to watch them do worldly things. And they make worldly money. It's worldly. You're worldly. Get the information. The information. Notes. Get the right people. Let them tell you. Let them tell you let them tell you exactly what to do. Imagine getting into a plane and somebody tells you, I'm not a pilot really. This is my first time. But I believe God. I will come down. So I say, man of God. They say, no. Let me come down. I'll come down. There was somebody who tell a preacher was coming, then he was now asking them, how is their flight, like how is their plane? Someone said, why should he be asking them how is their plane? He said, he just asked them. Because that's how to run good business. When you see people do well, business, except they are, fraudulent and all that, you will see that you will see the pattern. It's not mysterious at all. At all! You can calculate it. So, when it comes to worldly things, you cannot pass exams by being an ardent member of your prayer group. You go for lectures, tutorials. You buy the right books. Some of the people who are going to help you are unbelievers. The people tell you, I don't believe in Jesus. Say, leave that one. Let's believe in this one. We're going to do together. Leave that one. You go for a business trip. Don't scatter the business because the guy says, I don't believe in the Bible. Say, we'll talk about that later. Let's face this one. When we're done, we'll talk about the Bible. This is why you are there. There's no mystery to it. Those who have made it look like that are those who have twisted the gospel for their own sake. Remember when your pastors were in university? I always talk about this. So they were having exams. They asked me to come and share with them. They thought I was going to come in with some deep truths, the in Christ realities. When I was done with them, many of them didn't go back to their room. They went to read. Lazy boss! Pick your book and read! What do you want to hear? The Greek word, eh? You will fail and your failure will be anointed. Go to this place, my man. Sorry. Let the urge for prayer cease at that point. Cease. Oh! And go and read. Simple. There's no mystery to it at all. At all. In this church, if you discover you are failing academically, we'll call you. What's going on? Step down spiritual activities. There was a set of people like that. I said, don't come to church again. Don't pray. Don't read your Bible again. Sir? Yes, yes. And I was monitoring our studies. Oh yeah? Lectures. What did you study? What did you go and read? At a point, I even went with them. Don't pray! Don't study. Don't read Bible. Don't read anything. Read your books. You still come back and read your Bible. This one is emergency. They are telling you in the lack. They are telling you advice to withdraw. You know what withdraw is? Withdraw. You leave. There's no interpretation to it. You will go. Simple. Diligence. Paul says, so laboring. You can see in his hands. You see my hands? His hands. See how it's thick. See the bruises. I've met my needs and those with me. In 1 Corinthians 10. So there's mental work, there's physical work, but a believer must find himself working. 1 Corinthians 7. Hope you are learning something. Some will hear this. And you see them in church again. It's not because of what I said. It's because of what they have always been. So, thank God for pastor. You are a blasphemer. 1 Corinthians 7. Paul therefore put caution. And every pastor should put caution. Just like Jesus put caution. What is the caution? You cannot serve money. You can make it, but don't serve it. It now begins to dictate to you how you talk, who you relate with. Now, covetousness has entered. You no longer are serving the Lord. We don't see you again in church meetings. Your fellowship with other believers has dropped. Your service has dropped. Conventions are set in. And this is what the discipleship of the word does to us. I tell people oftentimes, if our desires as new creatures does not change, then what is the new creation about? My view has to change. I'm making money, but the money will never make me. It will never rule. There was one story like that in the Irish, told in Ireland, of a guy who, you know, extremely wealthy fellow. Extremely wealthy. But they found out that he would come to church, I think every day or so, and he would clean the church. They asked him, you can hire people. He said, no. Extremely wealthy guy. You would not even know. You know, some people, they will pretend in the service. They went in their homes. They are somebody else. Said, no. Then you will not know that. He never lived. So they now ask him a question. How did you were able to control this? He was able to talk like that. He was just a steward. In fact, they said at the point they posted him to somewhere to act instead of the parish priest. He still did the same thing there. So when I didn't have anything, I vowed that no matter what I had in my life, I will keep cleaning the house of God. So how did you do it? He said, I put money in my pocket, not on my heart. I ensured money remained in my pocket, never on my heart. It never dictated my motives and my reactions to me. Watch how you behave when you have a new car, a new house. Watch how you behave when you even buy a new phone. Check it. The moment your actions change and your speech has changed, there's something wrong in your conduct that the Word of God has to correct. Money must never affect you that it begins to show how you think. Put it in your pocket, in your bank account, never in your heart, not even in your speech. There is nothing in God's word that inspires us to boast of our possession. He said, let the rich be glad that he has been made low. That's what you should do.
Shouldn't start boasting. All those things will call people to come and give testimonies. Ah, to the glory of God, I now bought a G-Wagon. It's boasting.
It's boasting. And it's worldliness. Look at 1 Corinthians 7. Hope you are learning something.
Verse 30. They that weep as though they wept not, and that they that rejoice as though they rejoice not. They that buy as though they possess not. The word buy means to trade. Watch this. And they that use this world as not abusing it. For the fashion of this world passes away. The word use is the word cryomai. Use. C-H-R-A-O-M-A-I. It means advantage.
How many of you know that all of us in this room, this auditorium, we have an advantage? Your parents probably sent you to school, or somebody did. It's an advantage. Many people don't have it. Then you cannot go to other bigger advantages. You have qualifications. You have, you know, positions. He says, those that have that advantage, that's what Paul calls it, Kaomai, will act, watch this. He says, as though, as not abusing it. The word abusing is the word kataraomai. I spell it for you. K-A-T-A-C-H-R-O-M-A-I. It means, do not take full advantage of your advantages. That means put restraint in how you use your advantages. He used that word in 1 Corinthians 9:18. I don't abuse this privilege. That means a believer has self-control. That means you cannot afford to use every opportunity you have. Why? It says this world and its fashion will pass away. So you can't throw your whole being to worldly things. Somebody asked me, said, sir, is there any limit to my, I want to be a professor. There are some of you who have told me before, go and, you can be a professor. You have professor brain. Some of us don't have professor brain at all. But you do. But don't do it at any cost. Or at all costs. No. You must be able to say no. Oh, opportunities will come to you and they'll give you appointment letters. Take advantage of it. But, when you are now jumping from job to job, and you are jumping from job to job, they start getting offers. Sunday mornings, you work overnight. You can now be taking different places. At this point, you will not tell me what to do. I will tell me what to do. Are you following what I'm saying here? As though not having this advantage. So there's restraint. There's restraint. He tells you why. He says, for the fashion of this world passes away. You know, he said this in the midst of talking to the married. He said, look, if you are married, act as though you are not. Like, you know, some folks like that. As soon as they get married, their entire life will change. Say, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Act as though you are not. And after saying that, he said, for those who are married, care for the husband alone. So he had given you a warning earlier. Act as though you are not married. So, in spite of these advantages, it must not be done against the Christian faith. When you begin to see offers, offers opportunities. He says, restrain yourself. So, are we to take every and any opportunity? No. We are to have restraint. We are. Even though, hear this, in chapter 10, a subtle lesson was passed there when he mentioned the food offered to idols. In 26, he says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The fullness, plural. God created everything, but man administers it. And wealth, creation, and the ownership of it is man's creation. What is called the system of this world. Jesus told us, don't be mastered by money, Matthew 6:24. James tells us, don't start boasting about material acquisition. Matthew 4, I mean James 4. Go to now, verse 13. You that say today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and continue here a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor. Appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For you ought to say, the Lord's will we live and do this or that. Verse 16. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Rejoicing over material acquisition, boasting it. James calls it evil. Jesus calls it the same thing. Jesus says it like this. Is your life not much more weightier or value than these things? First thing is to value life more than possessions. Value life. Value life. Life is more than raiment. Life is more than food. Life is more than things. What is contentment? Someone said, contentment is drawing a line over my desires. I tell myself before I have something, this is where it will stop. Draw a line. A man, I'm told, Reverend Sam Adeyemi, unless he said he would not have more than two cars or so, and that he will use a car at least 5 years before he changes it. That's what I was told. That's an example. So, he said, even if I now have the capacity to buy more, I will not. Because I've already drawn a line. That's Christian living. Opportunities will come, but I've drawn a line. That I will stop at this point. If others come, I will give people. No, that is Christian living. It doesn't stop me from pursuits, from building my business and all that, no. But I place a limit on what I am. And or have or own. So the believer is taught not to have money. He's not taught how to have money. No. He's not. But he's taught his attitude towards it. He must not be high-minded. He must not serve money. Such that he begins to treat believers of lesser weight than those who have money. Anywhere you ask a rich man to sit in your house, a brother must be able to sit there. Any respect you give to a wealthy man who is not a Christian, you give to a believer who has nothing, then you know that money has lost its control over you. The moment you can't do that, you are high-minded. And you are trusting in uncertain riches. So what is the cure? The cure is to give and serve the Lord. Give and serve the Lord. Giving cures covetousness. You will know you will eventually become covetous in a big time way. When you don't have much, it's difficult for you to give others. That means money has control over you. You are already thinking, That's why people give a lot when they are told they'll get more. They are not givers. Is still covetousness. So the moment you can't do that, then you have a bigger problem. And covetousness has nothing to do with whether a man is wealthy or not. A man can be poor and is very covetous. So giving. So the love of God cures greed. John 3:16, God gave the world Jesus in 1 John 3:16. Hereby we perceive the love of God, that he laid down his life for us. Let us also lay down our lives for the brethren. Get an education. Acquire skills. Have the advantages that the world offers. But don't use the advantages anyhow or without limits. Have contentment. So that when you have and when you don't have, nothing changes in your conduct. Don't value people, or don't even value yourself with the amount of cars you drive, number of cars you drive, the amount of money in your pocket. Your voice does not change because of your fast bank account, because you have overcome the world. You have this world's goods, you have this world's riches, but you have overcome it. It doesn't control you. It doesn't dictate how you serve the Lord or serve others. You don't change your department from operations to pastor's protocol because you now have money. You know, I can't be doing a cleaning toilet. How would my staff in my office see me now bringing out brush? And one young girl telling me, do it well. At this point, you know, I want to be in pastor's protocol. We'll just guide pastor to the pulpit, you know. You are not okay. Not okay. Acquire education, skills, but serve the Lord, draw the line, be full of the word. We must not be found to be laid back doing nothing. We must be honest to have. We must know what is happening around us. Acquire information and skills. And in doing that, don't forget, we are in this world, but we are not on this world. So we have our limits, we have our restraints, we have contentment to walk in. So back to our opening text. 1 Corinthians 16. Paul writes to the church. 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 1. And I'll consign the collection for the saints, and have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, every one of you lay by him in store. As who prospered, he has prospered. And there be no gathering when I come. Does the Bible acknowledge material prosperity? As a spiritual reality? As a work of faith? No. As a work of man's endeavor? Does the Bible warn us about material prosperity? Yes. That we be not high-minded, that we do not use all the advantages, that we be not covetous or greedy, but acquire skills, acquire information, make wealth for yourself, and give as a barrier between you and covetousness. Serve the Lord and be not high-minded. Hope this is very clear.